On 882 6PR, this is Peter Bell.
24 to 2, time to talk about your pets. We would welcome your calls. 922 11882 is the number. We have Dr. Tony Vergano from the Swanbourne Veterinary Centre. G'day, Tony.
G'day, Pete.
Look, it is Are You OK Day. A lot of attention on mental health. And actually, we'll get Jules to ask the first question because Jules is in Mosman Park and was going to ask a question that I wanted to ask you. Good afternoon, Jules.
Hello, Peter. Hello, Dr. Tony.
Hi, Jules.
Tony, just a question for you. Could you tell me, well, any pet actually, but do dogs suffer if a dog doesn't seem to be quite himself and he's eating his food, but he doesn't have anything physically wrong that you can see, but he's a little bit down, do dogs suffer from sadness and depression?
Well, I'm sure they do, Jules, especially when their owners go away or they're put in kennels, particularly older dogs. They go into a bit of a decline. I think it's a lot to do with anxiety. We probably haven't dissected it out from the overall term of anxiety, really, which is much the same thing, anxious about things that might happen. And I guess the next step would be, you know, in the diagnosis of depression in a human, the consequences of what occurs with that. Whether or not true depression may be one of those things, if you're diagnosed that in a dog, you might be accused of that wonderful word of anthropomorphism, which is, you know, ascribing human-like qualities to animals. But certainly I think we underrate animals, and I'm sure that depression as such can certainly be brought on by lots of factors, yeah, associated with those things.
So just for an example, Dr. Tony, if, say, there's been raised voices around the house or something like that and your little puppy goes underneath the bed, is that a sign that he's got anxious about what's going on around him and he just wants to escape?
Well, yeah, but we would call that anxiety. Probably.
Anxiety.
Yeah. And you think about all the sorts of things that dogs do and the anxious dogs, and you can really pick them. I mean, the dogs that are fearful in the street, the dogs that cow when they're, you know, when they're approached or whatever, they fall into. Now, whether these dogs have a poor self-esteem and therefore they are depressed or whatever, I don't know. That's probably going one step further than I would like to go, but there's every chance.
Okay, thank you so much, Dr. Tony. Thank you, Peter.
No worries, Jules. Thanks for the call. It's probably a pertinent time to talk about violence and look, a lot of families are doing it tough. People with relationship difficulties, we obviously care very much about the impact on children. Maybe sometimes the family pet might be neglected and the damage done on the pet as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think with these situations where dogs are actually getting physically damaged in homes where women are leaving for whatever reason, and I think this is one of the... I was reading a website, as I said to you just before, and I can't find the darn thing now, but certainly I can almost remember the figures. It was associated with the fact that about 70% of women who have pets report that the pets have been threatened or actually abused or killed by partners. And again, I think there were about 30% of women who were in that category had said that the children had reacted badly because they were privy to what had happened by either maiming, hurting or killing the pets as well.
So just with anger
and frustration, as kids do, you know, when they're starting to sort of feel guilt about the fact that this is happening around them. And there are places in Perth, and there's a website called Save Pet, Save something or other, where you can actually contact people to look after your pets. And so, you know, a lot of women, I'll be probably over-categorising it here, but women who leave the home or don't leave the home and hang on is because they're scared of what might happen to their pets.
Mm. All right. So it's interesting, isn't it? It's very, very sad as well.
It is very sad.
But if you are concerned for the welfare of a loved pet, then there are places you can turn to.
There are avenues. And also, there was
looked after short term.
I think yesterday or the day before, I saw in the press where a pet or two pets were actually confiscated by the RSPCA based on the fact that both had similar injuries, which either the veterinarian or someone in the circle of friends or acquaintances had sort of zeroed in on the fact that these pets had, you know, been damaged on purpose. Yeah,
no good. Vicky in Coogee, good afternoon.
Hi, Peter. Hi, Dr. Tony. It's about my dog. He is a 17-year-old Lhasa Apso, and he used to sit on the washing machine to get his face washed because he needs his eyes washed all the time, and his bum cut, and, you know, like cut around it. Well, now he's getting aggressive and he won't sit down anymore. He has arthritis in his back legs, which he's been treated for, but he won't sit down. He's becoming quite aggressive when I wash his face.
Mm. Well, that's not uncommon. I thought when I first read it on the monitor that my answer was going to be, well, he probably can't get up on the washing machine anymore.
But, no, I put him on the washing machine on the towel.
I think that's probably right. I think they do get short-tempered and a little less accommodating of these whims that us owners sort of inflict on them. And I also think that as you approach a dog like that, often because their hearing and their sight is impeded or impaired as they get older, that they probably get a fright I have a lot of dogs that are nearly blind that'll turn around and try and bite you, because in your first instance of actually approaching them, you startle them in doing so. And so I think that's also possibly a factor in your situation.
No, because I pick him up in my arms to him first and then put him on the washing machine. Yeah absolutely.
From a medical point of view, does he have pain associated with it, and is this causing, you know,
he can't see it. It stuck his fur together. That's why I keep cutting.
But if you, what you're trying to do may well be causing more pain than it did before, because he may have arthritis in terms of his neck and all sorts of things like that, which is probably creating this response now.
Oh, okay. So what do I do about it then?
Take him along to your local vet, because I think that's, you need to get a diagnosis before you can do anything. But they've also got ways and means of sponging and showing you how to get rid of the discharge that builds up around eyes, particularly in mouths and so on, in these old dogs.
Okay then, thank you very much.
Thanks, Vicky. Really appreciate your call. 9221 882. We're with Dr. Tony Vigano, Swanbourne Veterinary Centre. If you've got a call about your pet, we would like to hear about it. I was just thinking, Tony, about when you're raising children, you know, the importance of strong bones and all that sort of thing, making sure they have their fair proportion of dairy products.
Sure.
I don't recall hearing that much about, when you have pets, about making sure that they grow up with strong bones. Is the average pet diet, does it have enough calcium, for example?
It's a really good point, Pete, because when I first graduated, you'd get a list of things from the breeder or from whoever, some good-natured person or the lady across the backyard fence who would be giving you instructions about this. And when you think about it, like a Great Dane, say, or a Mastiff, grows from less than a pound as a puppy, whereas we start off at about 6 or 7, and then in 19 years they're as big as you and I.
Yeah.
It takes 19 months for these dogs to get as big as you and I, and so therefore they're like young trees, and they just almost need to be supported in these early days. And so therefore not so much the gross amounts of, say, calcium and phosphorus, but the relative proportions need to be done extremely carefully. And so these days, and not wanting to sound like a commercial food addict, but certainly the commercial foods, if nothing else, they get the science right of these growth diets.
Right.
And that's why it's so important. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So if you're not a commercial food person, what sort of things should you be including? Just looking specifically for that strong bones, sure, particularly with the big dogs, I would think it'd be very important.
Oh, absolutely. Well, as I said, it's the proportion of it, and therefore the trace elements and the minerals and the vitamins and all these sorts of things which have to be in the right proportion. And that's why I would always defer to the guy. I mean, why try reinventing the wheel?
Yeah, they do it.
If you're not a commercial, I'm not a commercial dog person necessarily. I do think that at the beginning, during those periods of the early development, and right at the end when they're old, you do need a much more crafted diet, and I think that's where I would stick to them.
9221 882. This is Dr. Tony Vigano from the Swanbourne Veterinary Centre, and Michael is in Huntingdale. Good afternoon.
G'day, guys. How are you?
We're well.
It's English staffy question. My she's just gone into labour, Tony.
Yep.
And she's 10 days early.
Yep.
Is there going to be any problems? Or
Well, I mean, not necessarily, Michael.
No?
When you say she's 10 days early, how do you know that?
Well, it's supposed to be, isn't it, 63 days from conception, isn't it?
Yes.
And yeah, Yeah, 63 days from conception is a week on Monday.
Okay, and she only had the one mating you're aware of?
Yeah, that's, I think.
Yeah, you'll see, it's amazing. You know, as soon as you say I think, it amazes me with dogs how they can get around and have these episodes without anyone knowing. So I wouldn't be necessarily that worried about the fact that she was 10 days early on your scale.
Well, that was the night that Michael was playing the music, the sort of sexy music.
I see. And you had a friend, in.
Barry White,
the Barry White music, that's what I was looking for.
And someone slept over for the night, did they? Yeah.
A few from around the neighbourhood heard the music. No, go on, Tony. Sorry to be silly.
Well, okay. Michael, how many pups has she had? Is this the first litter?
She has, yeah, and there was no problems at all. They were right on time.
Okay, so this is the second litter,
The second litter, yeah. It was a bit of an accident, and I'm just a bit worried because she's been way off her food. I don't think she's got milk by the look of it in her boobs.
No. Well, I wonder, you know, do you know that she's pregnant even? Because they do and can swell up. If she hasn't developed milk yet, you may even have a false pregnancy. But if she's going into labour...
my daughter's on the phone to me every 10 minutes. There's blood everywhere.
Oh, okay. No, well, all right, fine. I think that we shouldn't be subjectifying in this. We should be getting out and seeing your local vet, because I think at this stage you need to get, first of all, a diagnosis as to whether she's in trouble or not, whether she's having the puppies or not, and therefore whether she needs any help or not. So I think all of those things need to be you know, sort of squared off and ticked off before you start getting, getting jumping fences in this instance.
Thanks, Michael. I have to leave it there. Shane in East Vic Park, go for it.
Yeah, g'day, Tony and Pete. Tony, do cats get hay fever?
Well, they do. We see conjunctivitis and we see sneezing in cats, which is attributed to allergies, yeah.
Yeah, no, because every time I'm mowing the lawn, the cat sort of comes out and weepy eyes and sneezes for a couple of days.
Mm. Yeah, certainly.
Sounds like it, yeah.
And we also get cats that get actual asthma. Feline asthma is a well-recognised situation where even sometimes we have to use those masks and spaces and things, or that's a way of treating them. To answer your question, and this is certainly the time of the year when these sorts of things start to raise their ugly head. The answer to that is yes. Mm.
All right, no worries. Thank you.
Good on you, Shane. What can Shane do?
I think that, again, you've got to get a diagnosis first, but then you can. Antihistamines, I find, don't work well in cats. You need to use prednisolone or base those sorts of.
And what about the cats that get catsma? Cat asthma. I've just come up with that
term.
I
love it. I know. It's like what was the other thing? The thing in the paper this morning about that actor. This is ridiculous. The bloke who was in Titanic.
Leo DiCaprio.
And there was a bit of a thing in this morning's paper about the person who just won the most wacky name for a cat in America. It was Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah. That was James' name. I've been saying that for ages. If I had a cat, I'd call him Leo DiCaprio.
You're way ahead of yourself.
For this catsma or cat asthma, what do people need to do?
Well, look, they need to get a diagnosis first, and sometimes that requires an X-ray, which has quite a characteristic X-ray picture, but I think you can give them oral prednisolone, and if your cat is and some people don't like to do that, therefore they can use the spacer and the mask if the cat thinks it's a good idea as well. If not, then it's maybe a little dangerous.
All right, well, with Dr. Tony Vergano, if you've got a question about your pet, 9221 882.
You're listening to Afternoons for Slater and Gordon Lawyers. When life's been turned upside down, turn to us.
Adam Shand here. Yesterday on Drive, we asked whether, with the Queen now becoming the longest reigning British monarch, it's time for Australia to ditch the royal family and finally become a republic. Here's what you had to say.
Under the current system, the third most qualified person to take over as our head of state is 2 years old. Now, come on.
Join Adam Shand on Drive, today from 3 on 882 6BR. Your city, your station.
The Mitsubishi Diamond Days sale is on now. For 7 days only, every new Mitsubishi comes with $500 of free genuine accessories. Plus, Lancer, Mirage Sedan and Outlander include a free auto upgrade. And Runout Challenger is just $33,990 drive away. You also get cap price servicing, roadside assist and 5-year warranty. But be quick, Diamond Days end September 16. Private buyers only. Terms and conditions apply.
So, you're ready for a Perth hot summer, but is your evaporative system ready for the heat? Damien here from Advanced Evaporative Services with a deal you can't miss. From $88, give your evaporative cooling system a full service with summer startup, service, clean and antibacterial treatment, all from a crazy low $88. Spots are limited, so call today to secure your premium evaporative service with Advanced Evaporative Services. Call 1800 842 659 or visit advancedinperth.com.au.
WA Today, Gods of Rugby Heaven. Pick your ultimate rugby team and a few match our experts picks, you could win a dream home entertainment package worth over $10,000. Just in time to catch all of the Rugby World Cup action. Play now at godsofrugbyheaven.com.au/WA.
Kick off your grand final day in style at one of the most iconic events on the football calendar, the Blackwoods North Melbourne Grand Final Breakfast. Spend the morning with stars from the world of entertainment, sport and politics before heading to the G for the big game. The Blackwoods North Melbourne Grand Final Breakfast is not to be missed, so head to nmfc.com.au or call 1300 Kangas to secure your seats now.
Breakfast only tickets available.
AFL on seller number OSAFL15/08.
Recently, we've heard many claims about what the trade deal with China will mean for Australia. It's simple. The China deal will give Australian exporters a head start in the world's biggest trading economy. That means more opportunities for our farmers, small businesses, manufacturers and miners. And that means more jobs for Australians. But if the agreement is blocked, all Australians will miss out. Go to supportfreetrade.com.au and see why the China Free Trade Deal is good for Australia. Authorised by B. Pearson Canberra. Spoken by R. Huggett.
Get set for Ross's Auctions Quality New Furniture Stock Closure Auction this Saturday. Due to the closure of S&L Furnishers and Joondalup, they'll be selling dining suites, war units, side tables, leather chairs, paintings, mirrors, hall tables, bedroom suites, bar tables and stools, tall boys, sofas, bookshelves, lamps, throw pillows and more. Inspect tomorrow from 9 till 4, bidding from 10 a.m. Saturday, on-site at 6, Clark Crescent, Joondalup. Catalogue and lot photos at auctions.com.au.
Can you build a granny flat on your property? Can you then rent this investment out? Aveling Developments has all the answers. Call the granny flat experts at Aveling Developments today on 6144 1002 BR12788.
Be rewarded with Harvey Norman Cool Cash. Simply purchase a selected split system air conditioner from Fujitsu, Mitsubishi Electric, Panasonic or Kelvinator and get a bonus FPOS gift card valued at up to $200. Beat the heat and organise installation before summer. Just ask in store. Get a great deal on your new air conditioner and bonus FPOS gift card up to $200 value. Hurry, limited time offer. There's never been a better time to buy. Conditions apply. Installation not available in all areas. Beat the heat at Harvey Norman with Cool Cash.
You're spending your afternoon with Peter Bell.
It's 8 to 2. We're with Dr. Tony Vergano from the Swanbourne Veterinary Centre. If you've got a question for Tony, 9221882. Before we get to your calls, Bob Tarr is the duty forecaster at the Bureau. G'day, Bob.
Hi, Peter.
What's happening with the weather?
All right. So we had a cold front move through the area this morning. So I've seen probably on average about 5 mils of rain from that. Also some gusty winds across the area. See those showers continuing through the afternoon, and then they should ease off this evening. And then we'll have mainly fine conditions from later on tonight through to about midday tomorrow. Could have a shower or two during the afternoon tomorrow, and then rain's likely to increase during the late afternoon or evening, so sort of right around the kickoff for the footy, we'll be seeing that rain moving in, so it won't be great conditions. Best to bring a poncho if you're heading down that way. Max of 21 tomorrow, and then unfortunately the weather's not great for Saturday's game as well. See showers that day, possibly even some hail, and a max of just 18. Then conditions should be improving for Sunday and Monday, just a chance of a shower both days, and max around 20. And then we'll stay still fairly cool on Tuesday and Wednesday, max around 20, but we'll see mostly sunny skies for those days.
Excellent. Thanks, Bob. Bob Tarr, duty forecaster at the Bureau. We're with Tony Vergano, Dr. Tony Vergano, Swanbourne Veterinary Centre, and John is in Adderdale. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Pete and Tony.
Hi, John.
Just a query, a very short query. Mm. We've got a little dog, and she's just turned 12, and she's started to grow these little wart-like things on her back and legs.
Mm.
Are they something we should be taking seriously?
Possibly, and probably not, John. Are they tags? Are they skin tags, or are they like little crescent, like a rose petal?
Yeah,
type?
They're free from the skin. They stand out. Yeah, like a wart.
Like a wart, and like a tag. Would you be able to tie it off?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah, no, they sound pretty innocuous to me in the scheme of things when you're 12 years old. The only problem is that if it's a dog that needs to be groomed or clipped a lot, then these sorts of things can get in the way and get nipped off each time. My advice would be to see your local vet, but from the top of my head, I would say that that sort of thing is the least of his troubles.
It's just one of those unfortunate things when you grow old.
Well, it sometimes can be a secondary. If some dogs with dermatitis, for instance, put on cyclosporin, we often see those little skin tags as a secondary issue. I presume he's not in that category, but we see vast numbers of poodles and these sorts of dogs in old age growing these warts, and it's best to leave them alone.
Just leave them be.
Yep.
Okay, look, that's all. Thank you very, very much for your trouble.
No, good on you, John. Appreciate your call. September the 7th, Tony, was Threatened Species Day. Just explain what that's all about.
Yeah, I came across that in an article, and I looked at it more deeply, and I had a look at the on the website, and they talked about conservation generally in time to act, and so it was only one part that the Australian Veterinary Association had dredged up from a whole raft of things, like people should be aware when they're fishing and what you should put into the atmosphere and saving water and that sort of thing. And this one fell into the category of conserving our biodiversity. And I think, you know, there are 33 mammals, 44 birds, 13 reptiles, 18 frogs, 19 fishes, and six other species, all of which are on the critical list of extinction. And I think that therefore, as part of the whole scheme of conservation, we should be looking at that. And I think that people should just very quickly, the sort of points that they talked about were growing local plant species to encourage native animals and native life and birds, to use pesticides sparingly because all of those things finish up in the chain, the food chain and so on, keeping cats indoors and putting bells to save our native birds and animals, watching out for native animals when you're driving at dusk, taking care of what goes down the drain because, again, it finishes up in the chain of food and so on. Environmentally clean cleaning products, separate garbage and so on and so forth, no plastic bags. I was shocked to see how many birds, I think about 15 years ago, 5% of seabirds that were found dead or whatever had pieces of plastic in their gullets and things. Now it's about 90%. You know, it's just amazing how much garbage there is just floating off our shores. So those are the sorts of things that they talked about, and it's all good stuff, really. I mean, it's been pushed at us from every different angle, but I just thought from a veterinary point of view, it was interesting from the animal sort of point of view.
All right, we're almost out of time, but I'll tell you what, Richard's in North Frio. You've got about 20 seconds. Richard, go for it.
Oh, yes. Hello, Peter, and hello, Tony.
Hi, Richard.
We've got a 17-year-old Jack Russell who's blind and deaf, still has all the bodily functions, but it's very slow. Should we just wait for natural death or do something about it?
Look, Richard, this is a perplexing question, and the one that most people, in fact, I've discussed this with two owners this morning already. I have a list of things that I go by. I think being blind and deaf, although they are more serious, because not so much even blindness, but deafness in a dog puts it in its own little world. It means that it doesn't interact or react with its world, and I think that by itself, not let alone the blindness, starts to throw it into a situation where the quality of life is irrevocably affected. But generally, I would say if those two don't seem to be affecting the dog, and the dog doesn't get startled and every time someone touches it and so on, then I would look at things like, is it good for 4 days out of seven, and those sort of things, not fouling itself, etc. Age is not the only criterion.
Richard, we'd love to answer that question more at length, but we're out of time. Tony, thanks so much.
Thanks, mate.
Dr. Tony Vergano, Swanbourne Veterinary Centre.